head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
The Rusty Satellite Show is back online. Thank you for downloading the show. This is your host, Rick Redding. I'm the one who brings you the most interesting people in the Ville each and every week for 216 consecutive weeks now. And this week, I've not disappointed you once again. I have two great guests for the show. I'm very excited about introducing them to you. The first, we're going to talk to Kathy Dykstra, who is in charge of the Family Scholar House, which you may not know about, but boy, it is doing some great work and some big numbers here in Louisville. It's an outstanding program, primarily caters to single parents who need a place to live, and I'll tell you all about that coming up with Kathy Dykstra. And we're also going to have on the show some great stuff happening in J-Town. Like walking distance from my house, I have Corey Sims, who is one of the partners in the new Max Dough House restaurant. It took the place of Johnny V's down there on the square in J-Town. And Corey, of course, you may remember, is also a partner in the Rec Bar, which has been a phenomenal success in Jeffersontown. I tell you, it's bringing in people from all over the place, a really great attraction. And part of the, I guess, resurgence of nightlife in J-Town. And I'm happy to see that. You know, I live just far enough away that I can't hear any of the noise when there's parties going on, but close enough to walk over there if I need to, or stumble home, as the case may be. But anyway, the Max Dough House is opening on September 8th, and you'll hear much about that. That's right before the Gaslight Festival, which is coming up in J-Town. And I talked with Corey about some of the things, other things that are going on in J-Town, and it's really great, the story about what they've done there and the success of the Rec Bar. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a really interesting conversation for you to listen to. First up, I want to thank my sponsors. And I really want to mention my main sponsor, Passport Health Plan. On September 12th, the second Tuesday in September, we're going to have Mark Carter, the CEO of Passport, is going to speak to our group at the Breakfast of Champions. As you know, I've been an organizer of the Breakfast Champions for many, many years, and very excited about hearing what Mark has to say about Passport's move to the West End and the spot they're occupying, they're going to occupy there at 18th and Broadway. It's going to be really really cool. And Mark is a great guy. I've known him several years, and he's got a lot of great things to say. It's a great story he's got to tell. So come make your plans now. There's a Facebook page now under Breakfast of Champions Louisville. And if you go there, there's an event called the Breakfast of Champions with Mark Carter. Encourage you to RSVP and join us there in September. That'll be great. And my other sponsor I want to mention is Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. Tell them down there that Rusty Satellite sent you over there, and get your eyes fixed. Or if they're not fixed, get a regular checkup. They're a one-stop shop for everything you need in terms of eye care. So the Eye Care Institute in Butchertown on Story Avenue. All right. Well, I've got a lot to get to today. I've had a very busy week, a very happy, a lot of happy things going on. It's really good. And coming up Monday, get your cards and letters ready. It's my birthday on Monday, believe it or not. How old do you think I am? Well, I know there's nobody here in the Louisville.am studio to answer that question. I'll be 57 on Monday, ripe old age, I guess. I'm feeling it, but always happy to be celebrating another birthday. So am anxious to see to have that come. But as sort of a way to celebrate that, I'm going away this weekend, going up to see the play some golf and see the Reds play in Cincinnati, and have a nice little brief getaway. So that's going to be fun and a great way to celebrate. But I'll be back Monday if you want to call me and wish me a happy birthday. That would be great as well. But first up, Kathy Dykstra is, I think she said since 2008, has been in charge of the Family Scholar House. It is a unique, one-of-a-kind, one of those things that started in Louisville. And I'm sure there's going to be more popping up. But she's now building, I think she said, their sixth facility catering to single parents. And not just, it's mainly single moms. It's a safe environment, rescues people from homelessness, et cetera. But importantly, in order to be in the program, you have to be pursuing a post-secondary degree. So that's a key part of making successes of people who may have either fallen on hard times or just can't figure out a way to get out of their situation. The Family Scholar House, and Kathy will mention during the interview how many people they're helping, but it's an amazing number, and I was really glad to get to learn more about it. I went over to the Family Scholar House right next to U of L's campus over on Lee Street, and it's a tremendous facility. I encourage you to find out more about the Family Scholar House, and you'll probably want to do so after you hear this interview with Kathy Dykstra.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show has wandered down off the U of L campus, and Kathy Dykstra is with me. And where are we, Kathy?
We are at
the flagship, right?
We're at the Louisville Scholar House campus, the flagship campus for Family Scholar House.
And it wasn't that long ago that it was the only one.
Correct. We opened this one in 2008. And I think there were people who thought we had built it. And we knew that the need was so great, we had built the first one.
Okay.
And since then, we've built three more, and we have a fourth under construction here in Louisville.
Well, wow, it is a phenomenal growth story, and you've been at this from the beginning. And so, I guess when you say there is such a need, what is the need? Tell me.
So, just last year, we served 3,296 families with 4,451 children.
Wow.
And with 215 single parents living with us, we still have a waiting list of 849 families.
Okay.
Those are folks that need stable housing in order to be able to pursue post-secondary education and to provide the kind of household environment that makes it possible for their kids to succeed in school and them to work and all of those other things.
Okay, so the requirements for people that want to come here, they have to be
a single parent,
and they
have to qualify for low-income housing. They have to have a high school diploma or a GED, and they have to want to go to college. There's no IQ testing, SAT. I'm not looking for the brightest. I'm looking for the most motivated.
Wow, and well, apparently they're out there. This is some phenomenal growth in the. And you were telling me that. This amazing growth of all these new buildings. I'll give you a chance to say where they are and everything, but it's all funded through, a lot of it's funded through fundraising.
Through fundraising
you're
and donations.
Behind.
So the capital pieces, a portion of that comes from low-income housing tax credits, which is not a gift or a grant from the government, but a tax credit. And then we use PNC real estate to convert that to funding for construction. But that only covers about 60% of our capital growth, and we've done almost $70 million worth of capital construction in the last 8 years.
Wow.
But all of our program funding comes from donations and grants and foundations and corporations. We don't get any federal or state dollars for our program operations.
Okay. Well, when I walked in here and also when I saw you a couple of weeks ago out somewhere, I had no idea that there was all this building going on. Give me an idea give our audience an idea of where these new buildings are going up, because I knew this place, this one on Cane Run Road, I'd been driving by and I didn't know what it was. Now I do.
So I'll unpack that a little bit for you. The first one is Louisville Scholar House, and that's between Old Louisville and U of L. The second one is Downtown Scholar House on the corner of Breckenridge and First Streets. The third one is Stoddard Johnston Scholar House on Bradley Avenue off of Eastern Parkway. The fourth one is Parkland Scholar House It is on the corner of Catawba and Dumanil Streets in the West End. And the fifth one that is currently under construction is Riverport Scholar House, part of Riverport Landings, which is on Cane Run Road.
Wow.
And that one will open in December for the family housing, with the young adult housing opening in January and our academic services center opening in February.
Wow. So
and
these...
then, Rick, on to the next one, which is going to be in Russell. So.
Yeah, Russell neighborhood will be another great one. Now, you all of these places, and you say you've got a big waiting list.
We do. We have 849 families on the waiting list.
Okay.
They receive services, but what they most need is housing and child care, and that's what they're waiting for. They're working with their academic coach on our team. They're working with their family counselor on our team, and they're waiting for the opportunity to get into the housing so that they have the stability to be able to really pursue their dreams.
Okay, so when I brought it up, I made the mistake of saying that it was all single moms, right?
It's single parents.
Single parents.
Out of 215 families living with me, I have 3 that are headed by single fathers and 212 headed by single mothers. But I don't want to leave them out because the single fathers are welcome here too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's amazing. And I know you have a heart and a passion for this. But I guess the question I always ask people that accomplish big things like this is, where's this come from? Where's the passion? Why weren't you satisfied with the one building here at U of L, and you could have run that since 2008?
I could have.
But now you've got 5 buildings.
Well, I wouldn't have met the need. And, I'm not a social worker. I'm an economics major from Wake Forest. Go Deeks. And this is a cost-benefits analysis. So I think a lot of people look at a program like this and say, these people need help. And what I look and see is these people can be help. So we take folks that are hungry for the opportunity to get an education and be contributing members of the community. We help them do that. And then within 90 days of graduating, they must exit our program. And then immediately, 70% are off of all government assistance, and they're nurses, and they're social workers, and they're teachers, and they're working in the criminal justice system. And these are folks who then become help for others in our community. So when we can take someone who is using all the subsidies we throw at a family that's struggling,
mm-hmm.
and turn them into a family that's thriving and paying back into all those systems, then we've really done something amazing. And we do that every day.
Wow. Well, I'm sure you've got critics that, that question the use of all this money for this purpose and all that. But you have, I guess the most amazing part of the story, it seems to me, is you're out in the community every day asking for money, getting people to contribute, and they...
Inviting them to participate. So for a single mother with 2 children who exits to stable housing and stable employment, the savings to our federal and state government in money not spent and in taxes recouped from payroll taxes and property taxes is $48,400 a year. So in 10 years, we're talking about $500,000 that we didn't spend on the family and that we got back in taxes. I don't know anybody who doesn't love that. Whether you want to pay more taxes or less taxes, everybody wants more taxpayers.
Right.
And that's what we do.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like... I mean, it must be challenging. I know people going to school, like any other student, the students in your program, I'm sure some struggle with school, some make it, some don't, right?
86% make it. 86% okay. graduate with a post-secondary educational degree. We have a very structured and some would say strict program. I remember my parents saying, not under my roof, and kind of I'm the person here saying, not under my roof.
Okay.
So we have a very structured program, and that is what's required to participate in the program, and then that works. So
yeah.
They meet with their academic coach twice a month. They come to family counseling twice a month. They come to peer support once a month. They volunteer in the community a minimum of 4 hours a month as a way to say thank you to the people that are supporting them. They must be full-time college students maintaining at least a 2.0. Their children must be in age-appropriate education, and we inspect every apartment every month, and there's no overnight guests.
Wow.
It's pretty
strict. There's no parties.
No parties. This is not a place to party. This is a place to change your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously it's a big hit with people. Now, certainly I understand it being right here on U of L campus where we are, where the original mm-hmm. one is, but mm-hmm. but you're building way out in the West End, mm-hmm. in the Russell neighborhood, in Riverport. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that just going to where these where the people are, or it seems like then they have a issue of getting to school and all that?
So families who are homeless or experiencing unstable housing don't really have a permanent zip code. So mm-hmm. sometimes people say, "Well, I need them to be from this particular zip code." I'm like, "Okay, well, they can park their car there." So they don't always have a neighborhood identity. But what they do have is a need for housing. So part of it is looking at where space is available. Part of it is looking where there's good, solid transportation. And I'm sure you already know that not only was there a good bus route down Cane Run Road, but they've just gotten a grant to expand that bus route. So it goes all the way to the Southwest campus of JCTC. So that's a good thoroughfare. Some people need to be really close to their school. Some people need to be in a more suburban environment to get away from some of the stressors that might mm-hmm. they might have had in the urban core. So we try to provide a variety of experiences.
Okay. And they don't all go to the University of Louisville?
Nope. I have my folks are in 13 different colleges and universities.
Wow.
And I have 322 children in those families, and they're everywhere. They're at every JCPS school you can imagine, and some of the private schools and Catholic schools.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's cool. Well, we just walked around outside, and I saw one of your little touches,
yes.
I guess, is all the doors around here are painted different colors,
yes.
And that's not a wholly just a design choice.
No. I don't think it looks bad, but it wasn't about how it looks. All of my children have either been homeless or experienced very unstable housing, often moving 6 or 7 times in a year. And if every door was the same color and you were 3 years old, can you imagine how confusing it would be to figure out where you live?
Mm-hmm.
So we just eliminated that from the beginning. And our kids know where they live. They'll tell you, "Oh, Miss Kathy, I'm in the red door on the first floor. I'm in the purple door on the second floor." And they have an identity of a place they belong.
Okay.
And that feeling of belonging carries over to way more than just their housing. It gives them roots that they may never have had. Their parents may not have had that either.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine, you know, we hear a lot about homelessness in the city and pulling people, you know, really off the street. I'm sure you've got a million stories about people who have...
Living in their cars and staying from friend to friend to family to friend and pregnant and sleeping on floors. And yes, I've heard just about everything. But I've also seen the tears of joy when a young mother and her child get a key to an apartment, the first time they've ever felt like they belonged someplace that was theirs and it was safe and it was under their control and not under anybody else's. And there's nothing like that.
That is a great feel. Last question, because I just picked up on something you said, that there's no overnight guests. So these are majority...
Single mothers. Mm-hmm.
And... You don't have a problem with guys hanging around?
No. 95% have come from are victims of domestic violence. They've experienced violence.
Okay.
87% of my children have witnessed domestic violence. What they need is a healing, safe environment. There's a tremendous sense of just relief at knowing that the gates close at night if they're not already closed all day long, and that the people that are inside the gate are us. We're that family.
That they're safe.
And the people outside of the gates are not going to get in.
Okay.
The response time of LMPD to any of our campuses is about 90 seconds. They've been wonderful. And we don't have many calls, but when we do, they know that someone's trying to get in to harm one of our residents, and our residents are doing everything they can to be safe and change their lives, and the police are quick to respond.
Boy, I would imagine the residents sort of... make friends.
They do. Family is the first word in our name for a reason. We are a family, and there's a sense of family here. And family is the first community you were ever in. And if that was broken, not only is your sense of family distorted, but your sense of community is distorted. And we're rebuilding both, the sense of family and the sense of community, by being that for each other.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right. Thanks, Kathy, for spending a little time with me and talking about the Family Scholar House. That was really great. Right now I'm in the Louisville.am studios where it is pouring down rain and it's dark in the middle of the afternoon, if you can believe it. Unlike was there one sentiment about the eclipse the other day that you heard a lot? I was downtown. I went to the 4th Street Live party and had lunch at Gordon Biersch, and then we moseyed on down the road to a big party at 8 Up. 8 Up was just rolling with people up there. They had a radio remote, etc. They didn't have enough staff people because it was hard to get a drink. But anyway, universally, the sentiment of the people I was around was, I thought it was going to get dark. Well, obviously, they weren't here last week listening to the Rusty Satellite Show, where Dr. Tim Dowling, the planetary expert, was a guest on this show and told us all about what was going to happen to the eclipse. So I hope you weren't like an idiot like our president. You see those pictures of Trump looking right up at the sun during the eclipse? If only he'd go blind, right? I just expect, after talking to Dr. Dowling, that some people are going to be having vision problems in the next few weeks, because I understand what it said. I had some glasses, and if you didn't see this, if you weren't a part of the eclipse or joining in the eclipse, it was really amazing to see through the glasses. You could see the sun just gradually being eclipsed, as they say, by the moon, and the moon went all the way across the surface of the sun and out the other side. And in Louisville, I was on the rooftop at 8 Up when it was going on. It wasn't by any means dark. I wouldn't even say it was twilight. It was just a little bit of a sort of eerie, not bright sunlight kind of thing. And it was a cool experience. It was probably overhyped a little bit, I think. it wasn't quite that big a deal. I'm really glad I didn't go down to Hopkinsville and fight all that traffic and do all that stuff down there on Monday. So anyway, we'll be back for the next eclipse in 2024. Stay tuned. It's a once in a lifetime thing. So anyway, that was cool, and I thought I'd take this part of the show and just tell you about some of the cool stuff I've been doing and stuff that you might want to know about or hear about. Especially things that relate to this show. And I certainly have talked a lot on this show. We had Linda Rufinack of the Whiskey Chicks on a few weeks ago to talk about the bourbon mixer that was Saturday night down at the Henry Clay. What a party that was. It was a blast. All the distilleries were there. There was a lot of good stuff. I saw a lot of former Rusty Satellite Show guests, people like Kaveh Zamanian, who is doing great things at the Rabbit Hole Distillery. And actually, I never do this, but I bid on some items in the silent auction. And surprisingly enough, I won. I have to break it to Paul that I have to go down and write them a check. But I won a couple of items, one from the Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey people and another from Copper and Kings. So anyway, come on over to my house. We'll party up with with that stuff in the very near future. So that was one thing I did. Another thing I did last week, if you remember that Dan Borsch was on the show, he's the guy in Old Louisville who worked so hard to get who had a location. His Old Louisville Pizza Company was located in a dry district, and he worked hard to get that law changed so it's now wet. So me and Luke, my son, went into Old Louisville Pizza one day last week and had a nice pie. It's not fancy. It's not like Double Dogs out there in Middletown or anything. It's what they have on the wall are a lot of old Derby mirrors that I think Kentucky Tavern used to put out, but somebody collected those, and they got a bunch of those on the wall. The furniture's not fancy, but the pizza's good. And even though it took a little while to get there, I think it's going to be a successful place, a good a good option if you're down in Old Louisville and want to have a pie. Speaking of new restaurants, I got to mention this. I'm disappointed I'm not going to be in town. Of course, by the time you hear this on Thursday, it will have already happened. But on Wednesday, El Taco Lucador, which is in St. Matthews, the new location, they got this big giant mural on the wall. It's really cool. It's on Meridian Avenue in St. Matthews. They had their soft opening on Wednesday night, and that place is open. That's from the Martinez, Fernando Martinez and his family, and those are the guys that did Muscle and Burger Bar and several other restaurants around town. So I'm sure that's going to be a great, successful place, very prominent in St. Matthews. I would think that if they stay open late, they'll get those crowd of kids that are all partying at Gerstle's and Molly Malone's and all that. So what a happening part of town that is in St. Matthews. So El Taco Lucador will finally be you've been watching it if you live anywhere near there. You've been watching it for a while, and they're finally ready to open. So anyway, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The other thing I want to mention real quick before we get on to Corey Sims and what's going on in J-Town is that on I went to Madison, Indiana last Friday night, saw my one of my musical heroes, Delbert McClinton. And I got to tell you, the first thing I got to tell you is that Delbert's 76 years old. And so he's losing a little bit. His voice is not as strong as it once was. But, you know, the songs are great. And his band is good. And they're enthusiastic. And Madison's, it's a great place to see a show. It's just a short drive, an hour's drive up the road. Our great producer, Dan Vonderheide, is from Madison. He'll tell you how great it is over there. We just sort of bebopped in. We saw the end of a set by, remember, you heard it from me first. If you're into blues, Anna Popovich, if you've not heard of her, listen. she's a great guitarist. I compared her to the blues guitarist Joe Bonamassa. She's a female version, and Bonamassa, of course, is coming to Bourbon and Beyond in a few weeks right here in Louisville. So anyway, it was a great evening, great music. I saw some folks from Louisville up there, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, enough about me, right? Enough about me. Let's talk about the things going on in J-Town. Now, one of the things that we've had numerous discussions about out there with J-Town residents is how we can make J-Town more of a party district, more like St. Matthews or the Highlands or even Nulu, where people can freely walk around, go from place to place, have enough options that you can sort of have a good time, make a night of it, and go to a bunch of different places. Well, Max Dohouse is going to be a great addition to that, just as I don't think anything was really happening. If you really think back, before the Rec Bar opened in 2016, there just wasn't much of a nightlife in J-Town. But now, you look at it, there's Louie Louie's, which has some great music on Thursday night. I've had Mike Spurlock from that place on this show, and the Rec Bar. And the Rec Bar is now joined by its cousin, Max Dohouse, the same ownership. Their focus is on macaroni and cheese, as you'll hear in the interview. It's great. There's a Mexican restaurant there, and there's a brewery, Third Turn Brewery, right down the street. The biggest piece of property under speculation in J-Town, I asked our friend Corey about this, but on the corner of Taylorsville Road and Watterson Trail is a former exhaust shop, Quality Exhaust Center, and a lot of speculation about what's going to go in there. Corey says his favorite rumor about it is that it's going to be barbecue, which there isn't a barbecue place in that area, so maybe that will be what it is. But they are doing work on it. It sat there idle for a long time with the sign up saying that it was leased, but now they're actually doing some work there. And also over at on the other side of Watterson Trail, an old bait shop called Karam's is rumored to be being developed into a bar where they're still going to sell bait, from what I hear. But this is all rumor. But nonetheless, it's all good news about things going on in J-Town. They've got a beach volleyball place that's closer to my house, right on the very end, right at at Belltown Road and Waterson Trail. So if you haven't been out to J-Town, don't wait till the Gaslight Festival. Go on out there and see what's going on. And I think you'll be interested in hearing from Corey Sims, who is quite the entrepreneur. I think I almost feel like the rec bar success took him by surprise. It's really a thriving place in Louisville, and a place in that location of the rec bar. You got to understand, a lot of businesses failed there before Corey and his partner moved in there. So it's all going very, very well now. And I think you'll be interested in hearing what Corey has to say. So I'm going to turn it over to him. Here's our interview that took place on Tuesday in J-Town while there is some construction noise in the background. But I think you'll be
interested. Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, I am in the nearly completed Max Doe House in J-Town with Corey Sims. Corey, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we kind of did this at the nearly completed rec bar, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah, we're about a year and a half in. I remember sitting down and having this conversation then and where we were at, and it's kind of crazy that we're here again at the end of this summer.
Yeah, well, it'll be funny if we do this again 2 years ago at your next new place, but... But anyway, let's talk about the rec bar first of all a little bit, because it's a unique concept. It came to a place that really, I would say, had almost zero nightlife. And, you know, I would say it's almost transformed J-Town's, at least at night.
Yeah, rec bar was kind of, when we were planning it, we looked at all different areas of the city. You know, the hot spots, New Lou, St. Matthews, Highlands, and... For some reason, we just kept coming back to J-Town. Tony and myself we both lived in this area for a little while. We've seen how many people are out here and, you know, just moving around on a daily basis. And, you know, we had a few options dining-wise and, okay. You know, everything was always so busy. But there was just everything kind of shut down at midnight, 11 p.m. So with Rec Bar, we wanted to bring something where, you know, people could know they could stay out a little bit later and really have that same feel that you might get in other parts of town. And, we've had people come from southern Indiana, Taylorsville, Shelby County. People have really traveled to come see us. So that's been huge. And, you know, actually kind of we thought we could do it, but really surprising at the scale that we were able to do it.
Well, yeah, it seems like I remember talking to you and you were putting pinball machines in and didn't know exactly what kind of an attraction it would be. And I guess in terms of your numbers that you ran and all that, exceeded?
Yeah, definitely. We were well ahead of where we would like to have been at the 1 year mark. And honestly, we've continued to grow. It's we've added a little bit at a time. You know, when we first opened, we only did dinner and late night. We were open all day on the weekends. Then we layered in lunch, and then we started doing, you know, some birthday outings and some happy hour parties and stuff like that. So we kind of slow rolled everything. We've expanded, you know, another 2,600 square feet since we first opened, and things are just rolling along.
Well, there's always a crowd late night when I'm driving around. So. But then, that seemed like enough. But this thing is amazing. It's called the Max Doe House. And tell me how this came about.
So Max Doe House was kind of I would say it was an abrupt decision. it was not anything that we had in our 5 year plans as far as rec bar goes. Johnny V's was a local staple out here and had been open for nearly a decade. We got to know Jimbo and Johnny, the two owners there, and you know, since we had moved in, they were awesome help in sort of getting to know the neighborhood a little bit customer-wise. They told us they were kind of looking to put an end to Johnny V's, just kind of end an era, do something a little different. Came to see if we were interested first, and honestly, Tony and I kind of looked at each other and were like, yeah, there's no way that we can do it. We're less than a year into Rec Bar. I don't think it's really possible, but I mean, let's look at the numbers and see what we could do, because J-Town needs some awesome as much dining and nightlife as we can get. But the one thing that we said whenever we kind of went through everything was, how can we make it different? You know, Johnny V's was known for its pizza and pasta. And
so you came up with mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese was, so...
Which seems trendy, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of, along with Rec Bar, we had kind of focused on things that people loved in their childhood that translate into adult life. And obviously, it seems like everybody loves pizza. And one of the other consistents that it seems like everybody loves growing up is mac and cheese. So we kind of did a little research. There's a few places regionally that have, like, just a full-on mac and cheese menu. Uh-huh. It's popped up in all the big cities, so,
I know a lot of restaurants around here are amping up their mac and cheese parts of the menu, I guess. But
yeah.
not a full place devoted to it.
Yeah, so we're not doing any other pastas. We're not doing spaghetti meatballs, lasagna, not the traditional Italian staples. We just wanted to focus on all kinds of different loaded macs.
Okay. What's the best one?
I think our marquee one is going to, it's called the Firestarter. We start with our base mac and cheese. We add sriracha, coated grilled chicken. We do fresh diced jalapenos, and then we do a flaming hot Cheeto crumb topping.
Wow.
So.
Spicy.
Yeah, it's got a little kick to it.
All right. Well, very good. Well, you really transformed the place from my first time in here since it was Johnny V's. You took over some extra space next door. It's going to be special. Big old bar here. So do you expect some of the nightlife, filtering over either from Rec Bar or different nightlife?
Yeah, I think...
Can be open late?
We'll be open Fridays and Saturdays. We'll stay up until 1. Okay. So a little bit later than normal. Well, obviously, we're open to the hours. If people are out here having a good time, we're not going to close it down.
Yeah.
Our liquor license will be good till 4 a.m. So if need be, we can transform the place as best as possible. But I think, with Third Turn being open and they kind of end their operation night at midnight, I think we'll have 26 beers on tap. So
Okay. We'll
have something to offer for that beer crowd. If they are looking to continue their night somewhere, they can kind of trickle down. And then, if they're looking to stay out until the wee hours, Rec Bar will be there for them too. So,
well, that sounds pretty cool. And just so our listeners know, we're not open yet here at Max Dough House, but Gaslight Festival is coming up in mid-September and in the heart of J-Town, right outside your door here. So you're going to be open by then.
Yeah. So the goal is September 8th, barring any unforeseen circumstances, but we will definitely be fully operational and ready to go for Gaslight. We'll have our back parking lot. We'll have a little bit of live music and that nature. So, it'll be kind of that free-flowing festival feel where you can go.
Because out back, you can walk right over to Rec Bar, right?
Yep.
And so there's room for outdoor music, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool stuff. All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit of other stuff in J-Town. There's all kinds of rumors swirling around. So I ask everybody I know in J-Town that knows anything about the corner of Taylorsville Road and Watterson Trail. There used to be an exhaust shop there. There's construction going on there. But nobody knows what it's going to be.
It has been the most well-kept secret, I think, that I've been involved in the city. It always seems that, whenever you hear rumblings of a new restaurant or something, somebody gets the inside scoop. The only thing that we've heard no names. Barbecue is the one food theme that we hear.
Okay.
I can't say that there's any truth to that at all, but that's just the number one speculation at the moment.
Okay. Well, barbecue would fit. You got pizza with Louie Louie's, and you got the brewery and the Mexican place. So that would seem to make sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, from our viewpoint, there's no reason that we can't have a little bit of everything out here. I think right now there's a good mix, but there's always room for some more concepts and creative ideas. So I'm cool with barbecue going on the corner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly people that live out here, J-Town is, in terms of nightlife, is always sort of second fiddle to the Bardstown Road or St. Matthews or anything like that. But, it seems like it could eventually be a place where people could come out and walk from place to place.
Yeah, and from what we're hearing from city council and everything, the mayor's really behind sort of making this more of an entertainment hub, if you will. Encouraging new restaurants and bars to open up out here. So that's really reassuring news to us, as we've got two businesses in the area now. We want to see it flourish. And honestly, there's no reason why J-Town can't be the next big thing to where you can park and walk around and check out all different places.
So this is you and your partner, Tony. I mean, in terms of man hours, I'm sure you're plenty busy with Rec Bar. You know, how are you handling adding an additional operation?
So kind of one contingency of us taking on Max was going to be that Jimbo, that was the previous partner, and Johnny V stayed on board with us as a third partner. So Jimbo's on board with us now, and honestly, I mean, the best thing was establishing a great staff at Rec Bar to know that we could kind of peel away and focus on another concept. And our management team over there, our general manager Drew, and all those guys have been a huge asset to us. So, I mean, it's really who you surround yourself with. So,
yeah, how many people are you going to end up having on board?
At Max, our staff will be probably about 25 opening up.
Okay.
That'll probably expand down the road whenever we trickle into lunch hours, but probably a good 25 people on the starting crew.
There you go. Now you mentioned Jimbo, and I know that more big news in J-Town. And understand, a lot of people listening to this don't come out here, so they don't know. there's a new beach volleyball place.
Yeah, J-Town Beach. That's another thing that's just a different concept that opened up this past, actually Gaslight last year. They had kind of a soft opening. I drive by there on my way home every night, and the courts are always full.
Yeah.
Their summer league was booked out. Their fall league's booked out. So just another cool spot to hang out. They've got Comfy Cow ice cream. Another different food option, if you will, out here. So,
well, it's really amazing that you see somebody that's lived out here for a long time, and all of a sudden there's all this stuff going on. So I can imagine you're pretty happy with the way things. Tell me just a little bit about, this wasn't an easy transition into this building, right? I mean, the original opening date was months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So we basically, the biggest thing was, we want a building that A, looks different, and B, is as functional and efficient as possible. Walking into the kitchen, we knew it was going to be a project. We needed to rearrange a little bit of equipment, and our hood systems had to be moved around. So with that being said, building codes changed, and we had to get all new hood systems installed. So it was a necessary evil, so that kind of delayed things with unexpected budgets and new equipment. But outside of that, I mean, it's given us the extra time to make the building something really unique. I think people that remember Johnny V's, when they walk in, it'll kind of make them start to think about where everything was laid out before. And
like
and
I did when I came in.
Yeah.
the bar is about twice as long, and the room is twice as big. So it's very cool. Well, I want to come to the grand opening, Corey, and I'll be expecting that invite.
Absolutely.
I look forward to seeing how it turns out. Give me some of that. What's that dish called?
Fire starter
mac and cheese. That's the first thing I'm ordering.
Definitely, we'll get you out here, and look forward to everybody getting to experience some new fun food out in J-Town.
And we can close the book on another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to Kathy Dykstra and Corey Sims for being my guest on the show. They do not get lovely parting gifts, but hopefully they'll tell their friends and get some notoriety from the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad to be doing it every week. It's a lot of fun, and love, especially the last 2 weeks, I've learned so much. I really get to go around to different places, learn things. It's all really great. It wouldn't be possible without my sponsors, my friends at Passport Health Plan. A reminder that the Breakfast of Champions with Passport CEO Mark Carter is coming up on September 12th. Be sure to look for that. More information on Facebook on that. And by the Eye Care Institute, my friends over there, 502-589-1500 for all your eye care needs. All right, another few reminders, LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, is a place to go for local news. I'm happy to direct you there. We got some changes coming, I think, in the near future with that. And with EatDrinkTalk.net, my food and dining and drinking site. So, got a lot of exciting things coming up in the very near future on this show, and invite you to continue to pay attention. Watch for it online. If you want to get a hold of me and suggest a guest for the Rusty Satellite Show, probably the best way is just to go to Rick Redding on Facebook and send me a message. You know, I'm always open. I don't plan this. I don't plan my guests very far in advance because I like to be spontaneous, and that sometimes gets me into a scrambling situation. But so far for 216 consecutive weeks, I've gotten another guest. So anyway, be sure and wish me a happy birthday on Monday. I'm looking forward to my birthday and big trip this weekend. But anyway, thanks for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show right here on the Louisville.am network, where you can find all kinds of other great podcasts to listen to. Tell your friends about it. It's the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes into buildings every time I